Good morning. I'm going to be talking on, carrying on with our series on the fruit of the Spirit. We've been working through a series on the Holy Spirit, who he is, what he does. We then got into a mini-series on the fruit of the Spirit, and I've got the fifth fruit of the Spirit this morning, which, depending on your translation, will be a different word, which makes it really fun for a preacher. So if you've got your, whatever you're using for scripture, if you can go to Galatians 5, verse 22, please. Now, I just want to restate some of probably the obvious things, is that we're looking at a passage this morning and part of a passage which is going to be familiar to lots of us because we've, probably almost all of us have heard of the fruit of the Spirit. We know the fruit of the Spirit. Some of the geeks amongst us can probably recite them from memory. Not me, but you, some of you guys probably can. And that's great, but what we've got to be careful is that familiarity doesn't actually close our eyes and our ears to it, because we can think we know what Scripture's saying, but miss what Scripture's saying. And that's what Jesus often talks about when he says, let he who has ears, let him hear. Because God never contradicts his word, but he does contradict our interpretation of his word. I'm going to say that again, because some of you didn't get that. God never contradicts his word, but he does contradict our interpretation of his word. So maybe what you said this morning will contradict your interpretation. Maybe it won't. But we'll just be open to it just to see what God wants to say, yeah? So Father, thank you that your word is living and active, and it cuts through bone and marrow and soul and spirit, judging our thoughts and our intentions. So God, would you speak to us? Would you give us words of life, just like you did on the Emmaus road to the disciples, God? Would you speak to us all and our hearts burn, not because of intellectual theory or words or anything academic or that's a nice fact, but because you're speaking spirit to spirit, so we're changed and made more like you. Ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there's no law. So when you preach through these things, I'm sure there's lots of people here who've preached or preach or et cetera, you know, if you get the fruit of the Spirit, you go, can you preach on love? Yeah, loads of stuff about love in the Bible. Joy, yay, there's quite a bit in there as well. Peace, yeah, patience. And obviously as a preacher you're thinking, I'm going to preach on patience, and then people are there listening to you going, get on with it, hurry up, I've got things to do. You're always soul destroying. Then you get to these other ones, which are like, oh yeah, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Oh, self-control, there's loads of stuff about that one. But the rest of them in the middle, they're a little bit like, oh, they're nice words. And the danger is that what we do is we talk about the words as they are to us in English society, English culture, British culture, Western culture, not what actually the scripture writers may have been intending to say. Because the Bible wasn't written in English. Sorry to break that to you. And we have not grown up in a culture like the culture of the ancient Near East, 2,000 years ago, in Roman-occupied Palestine. Okay? So, there's a whole load of cultural filters which we're going to be looking for and working through. Okay? So, I'm going to talk on the fifth fruit, which in most translations is the word kindness. Sometimes, depending on the translation you're reading, you might have a different word. You might have the word goodness, or you might have the word gentleness. Has anyone got a word that's not kindness in their Bible? It's okay if you haven't, it's not wrong. You're not going to get thrown out to the outer darkness if you have. Okay, no one. Right, but my point is straight away, this word has been translated in different ways. So speaking from the English word kindness might not be the smartest place to start, right? Why? Thank you. It's always nice when someone is with me. Someone's listening to me, finally. Not my children, but someone is. Sorry. Get that one out. So kindness, what is that? What is kindness? It's a lovely human virtue. But what does it mean? You know, you get these words, don't you? Oh, yeah, so kind. But what do you mean by that? Do they strangely stroke the side of your face as they say nice things to you? because I would call that odd. Is that a fruit of the Spirit? Sometimes you might think so. I didn't say that. But what do you think of when you think of kindness? Niceness. He's a nice person. Things that, if you're single, you never want to hear. I'm married. It's okay. I worked through it. I overcame. Come to me for tips later, guys. Generosity. Is it being generous? Is that what it is, kindness? Is it being considerate and caring? All those wonderful things that if you're an alpha male, you're like, Is that what kindness is? Is that the fruit of the Spirit, being nice? So I went to the perfect place to find out. ChatGPT. I didn't do that, obviously. I went to the dictionary. Students, that's a book, okay? That's something that old people used to do to find things out before Google. And you'd have them, and you'd have them on this thing called a bookcase, which is furniture, which is not table, chairs, or a bed, which some of us would have. But students, obviously, you've got other things to spend your money on. I understand that. So I went to the dictionary. Now, I went to 4 dictionaries, not to find the answer I wanted, but to compare them. I went to the Oxford Dictionary, because obviously, you know, you have to. I'm English, I have to. And it says the quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate. Okay? I went to the Merriam-Webster. Kindness is the quality or state of being kind. So kindness is being kind. Thanks, Merriam-Webster, whoever you are, that's not helpful in any way. So I went back to, you know, Cambridge. Kindness is the quality of being generous, helpful, and caring. Okay. Collins is the quality of being gentle, caring, and helpful. Oh, there's a bit of a thread going on, isn't there? So in English, we understand the word kindness is being linked to being generous, helpful, caring. Does everyone think, yeah, that's probably a good understanding of kindness? You're being kind to me, thank you. Now, here's an interesting thing if you're a word geek. The root of the word kind is connected to the word kin, K-I-N, which means family. It's an old word for family. So actually, kindness and kin, based in sort of similar kind of concepts, kindness, when it first as a word was being used, was really kind of describing how you're meant to treat people of your family. And obviously, if you're in a tribal society, one with clans and groups, and the family unit is a huge thing, it was the way, how do you treat people? Well, to be kind, you're treating people as if they're a member of your own family. And it gives you a measure of what that would mean, because healthy families treat each other kindly. My son Ross, who's 6, is a Ross story coming, came up to me and said, Daddy, yes, Ross, you've got a tummy. Yes, Ross, I have. I don't want a tummy. Why don't you want a big tummy? Because I want to be able to look at my toes when I'm older. That is not kindness or towards your family members. Okay? That is not kindness. So prophetically, I've been living this message. So is my sermon really just saying, be kind to people, treat them as if you're members of your own family? Is that it? No, you're not. I'm not that kind. There's more stuff to say before I get to probably making that point. That's the word in English. But these words, when you look at them in Greek, actually have a lot more depth and a lot more richness to them than we can actually capture in English. And that's illustrated by the fact that this word can be translated different ways, depending on the translation. Now, in Greek, the word here is a word, kreistotes. Kreistotes. Kre, like crayon, sto, like stone on a ship, tase, like taser. Random connection of things there. Let's try and get that together. So, kreistotes, this side. Kreistotes. Rubbish. So unkind. Let's try this one. Kreistotes.
Kreistotes.
You're my favourites. There'll be another opportunity for you guys to redeem yourself. It's not by works, apart from today. Kreistotes. That's the word in Greek. It goes far beyond our English idea of kindness. That word is deeper than just being nice to someone. It's more than just an act of kindness. Now, there was that movement, isn't there, which is still kind of a kind of random acts of kindness, where you drive around to Starbucks or McDonald's and, you know, you pay for someone behind you. Or you go round and someone hasn't paid you, so you go, no, I'm all right. And you go round again, and you keep going around until someone finally is paid. Just get out of the way so I can get my stuff. Random acts of kindness, passing things on. This is not Christotes, not doing a random kind thing. It's actually talking about a character quality. It's talking about a goodness of heart. It's talking about a gracious disposition. What it's basically saying is, this word is a quality that someone has that filters and removes all traces of harshness or severity or unkindness in how they deal with other people. So it's not about you do something kind. It's about fundamentally they are kind. And everything they do is kind because they are kind. It's about the person, not about the action. Does that make sense? Because you could be a not very nice person and still do something kind, couldn't you? But what Christotes is saying is, no, that's not godly. Godly is you are fundamentally wired and disposed to being kind, and therefore everything you do is kind. Nothing unkind can come out of you because it's not who you are. That's what this is talking about. Do you see the difference? So what it does is it's implying a character that is actively, selflessly concerned with the ability to do good to other people. Even if those people don't know about it, don't want it, or don't deserve it. Do you see? So if I can say it this way, kindness in this scripture, in this verse, is treating someone kindly by seeking opportunities to treat them well. It's front foot kindness, it's not reactive. Let me give you a comparison, right? It's really easy for me to be kind to my wife because it's a little bit self-interest, isn't it? Yeah? Happy wife, happy life. We've all heard that proverb. I mean, not proverb, not from the Bible proverb. Should be. But you know, it's easy to be kind when there's some kind of mutual benefit or when you like someone. It's easy to be kind for my children for quiet life. Only I didn't say that. It's easy to be kind to friends. It's easy to be kind to people I like. But that doesn't make me a kind person, okay? Because we can have all sorts of reasons for being kind. We can be kind because we have affection for someone and we want them to feel happy. But sometimes we want people to feel happy because it makes us feel happy. That's not Christotes kindness. That's actually self-seeking, isn't it? But on the outside, oh, they're so kind. But if they're doing it to bolster self-esteem and self-view and feel good about themselves, that's not godly kindness. Do you see? Because the motives are actually not quite pure, even if on the outside it looks like they are. We might be kind because society expects it. Now, I don't punch people in the face because it's not a kind thing to do. But there could possibly be some people who don't punch people in the face because they don't want to get in trouble with the law. Now, that doesn't make them a kind person. It just means they are, lots of other words that could be inserted there. But that doesn't make it kind, does it? There's a difference between being a kind person by nature and acting kindly. Do you see the difference? This is what these fruits of the Spirit are really all about. Christotes kindness means showing kindness because of who we have and who we are as characters, not because of who is receiving the kindness. Kindness can be manipulative, can't it? Can it? Yeah. We're kind to someone because we want something in return. Kindness, that's Christotes, is more than just feelings. Okay? It's easy to be kind when you feel kind and you feel affectionate towards someone, but are you kind when It's the opposite. Christotos kindness is actively helpful. It's a blessing. It does others good. It's sacrificial. It's generosity that is sacrificial. It embraces the pain of giving. If giving isn't painful, how truly giving is it? I'm not saying it isn't giving, but godly giving has an element of pain and sacrifice to it. Christotos kindness seeks others' well-being, even at the expense of self. It's not just niceness, nice Christians, nice to each other. Nice conversation over nice coffee. Then we listen to some nice songs, we listen to a nice sermon, and we go and, in a nice way, orderly leave the car park, nicely blessing people whose driving skills may not be up to our level, and go about our days nicely with a nice Sunday lunch that, even if it's burnt, we nicely enjoy. It's being nice, being kind, because we are kind. Doesn't matter who the recipient is, whether they deserve it, earn it, want it, know about it. Because it's more about us than them. Does that make sense? It's a bit different to what we think of as kindness, isn't it? Christotes is kindness that rescues an enemy instead of letting them suffer the consequences of what they deserve. So mercy is a manifestation of Christotes, but is only half the picture. Because mercy is not letting someone receive or get what they deserve. Whereas Christotes gives to people things they do not deserve. Yeah? Mercy is a good thing, but actually in the kingdom, Christotes is better. Because it stands on the shoulders of mercy. Christotes pays the debt of a gambler, irrespective of whether the gambler is going to stop gambling or not. Christotes opens doors of opportunity for those who are not worthy and haven't earned it. Christotes helps, supports, and elevates people to places they can't get to themselves so they can prosper, without any condition on how they use that new prosperity. Because Christotes is unconditional. Because if it's conditional, is it kindness? So this fruit of the Spirit is a kindness that actively blesses and benefits another because of the character of the one being kind. And this is all another way of saying and describing and talking about the grace of God. The grace of God. Grace is unmerited favor. Getting a blessing that we do not deserve, we haven't worked for, and we could never work or earn. That is the Christotes kindness of God. Because he gives and he gives and he gives because of who he is, not because of who we are. Yes, he loves us, but it's also because of who he is. He is kind, he is good, he is gracious. That's Christotes. It's unearned kindness, it's unmerited blessing. It's God's goodness and kindness liberally given out without conditions or stipulations because he is good and he is kind. That is Christotes. That is grace. So let's keep exploring this. Are you with me? Are you tracking with this? The Old Testament is written primarily in Hebrew, okay? The New Testament primarily in Greek. There is a word in the Old Testament which is kind of like the Hebrew equivalent, if you like, to Christotes, or there or thereabouts. Okay, it's very similar in essence. Because I want to show you that this is a Bible idea. Okay, this is not a just a pull and a random whimsical, like, let's put some nice words in the letter. No, this is a Bible idea that Paul's communicating with Christotes. The Hebrew equivalent to the word Christotes is a Hebrew word chesed. You've got to go chesed. Right, chesed. Let's try. I'm going to come to you guys second. You guys set the standard, no pressure. Right, let's try chesed. Chesed.
Chesed.
That is an object lesson in redemption, everyone. Chesed. Chesed is one of the most theologically important words in the Old Testament. When you read your Bibles, because we all know we all read our Bibles all the time, continually, day and night, all the time, yes, yes, yes. How many of you have ever come across the phrase steadfast love? Four of you who read your Bibles. Let's try this again. How many of you have ever come across or heard the phrase steadfast love? Yeah. Throughout Psalms, yeah? Throughout the whole of the Old Testament, throughout the writings of Moses, throughout the prophets, steadfast love. That word, steadfast love, is chesed. Okay? It is chesed. It means steadfast love, obviously, but sometimes it's also translated mercy, grace, and my favourite, loving kindness. Loving kindness. Chesed is a covenantally significant word in the Old Testament. And so to the Hebrew, when they're reading the Psalms and Proverbs and the prophets and the writings of Moses, the things that shape their worldview and understanding of who God is and what God does, this concept of chesed, loving kindness, is at the forefront, hitting them in the face. They're in a covenant with one who is lovingly kind, who shows them loving kindness, who is constant with his loving kindness. And if we think about this, loving kindness, okay? The word loving, it's like, it suggests, doesn't it, a disposition, an inclination, an attitude, an intention to not just show love once, but to continually show love. That the intention of the heart is always, 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 always constantly loving. Yeah? That's God's heart. It's not just love in an abstract form or a distant form or a far away or an elevated or, oh, God in heaven, he loves me, I don't feel loved, but he loves me, so it must be true, but I don't feel loved. No, no, loving is loving. Always, always, always. Kindness gives a bit of a filter of what that loving can look or feel like. It suggests ongoing acts or outcomes or goals that want to bless and do someone good. We've all heard the word shalom, yeah? And we know it means peace. But it also has this concept of wholeness about it. Alignment. Alignment with heaven. Alignment with earth. Alignment with other people. Shalom is the place, which was in effect the goal of Hebrew spirituality, to be aligned and at one with God, and aligned at one with the earth, and aligned at one with fellow man. Prosperity in every single form. Physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, socially, family, financially, everything. God's loving kindness is to lead us into a place of shalom. God wants you to prosper. It doesn't just mean money, which is where the prosperity gospel goes weird, but it doesn't ignore money, because God's a provider. God's chesed, his covenant, is for our shalom, because then we're aligned with him as we're aligned with everything and everyone else. So chesed is a deep, tangible, heartfelt, intentional, unwavering attitude of constant blessing again and again and again. And it's in the Old Testament about 190 times. Steadfast love, other words, which is chesed. So this is a big deal, loving kindness. Let me give you some scriptures so you don't think I'm just making this up. Psalm 23, many of us are familiar with it, yeah? Verse 6, it says, I'm sure many of us will know this verse, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How many of you know that? And you've got that cross stitched on a pillow, or you've got it on a cuff, you know, coastal or something. But this is what it is in the Hebrew. Surely goodness and chesed shall follow me all the days of my life, and I dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy, but actually it's goodness and loving kindness will follow. It's different, isn't it? It's richer and deeper. It includes mercy, but it's greater than mercy. Because mercy is not just, the gospel is not just a gospel of mercy, it's a gospel of chesed as well. If it was just mercy, we go back to zero and then we just start messing up again. No, no, it's God coming alongside to help us, to empower us, to enable us. Psalm 86, and this is the theological definition of God throughout the Old Testament, okay? When they say, what's God like? And we've put this into songs and things like this. God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in chesed. Chesed. He's abounding in love. Loving kindness. It's love that does something. It's not just a passive, still love that's a bit cerebral. It's active love that intervenes and God wants to show. Because God is affectionate. Is it love if you don't know it or feel it? Lamentations 3. Lamentations. Jerusalem is fallen. They've been exiled. The three things that made the Jews special in the eyes of God and the world was the promised land, the city of God, and the law, including the temple. Okay, that's what they had. That's how they knew they were the favored people of God. Well, guess what? In the exile, the temple's torn down, the law's lost, and they're kicked out of the land as Jerusalem is burning in rubble. They're not going to feel great. That's where Lamentations comes from, lamenting. But listen to what Lamentations says. The chesed of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The chesed of the Lord never ceases. His kindness, his loving kindness never ceases. The idea of God being kind is a whole Bible idea. It's not a charismatic church thing. It's not a 2000s thing. It's not just a New Testament thing. It is a Bible thing. So let's get back to Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, loving kindness. Do you see? Now, if it's the fruit of the Spirit, that means it's God-like. God's not asking us to do something that he is not like himself. So if the fruit of the Spirit shows us what God's like, it's got to mean some things. It's got to mean this. God is love. He's not distant. Him feeling distant and him being distant are two different things. Feelings are not always the best gauge for reality. I do have feelings. I am English. I am a man. I'm in my 40s. I'm Gen X. I do have emotions. Very, 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 very suppressed. But they are in there somewhere. They're not a way that you gauge emotions. Katie's laughing too hard in a way that is not that laugh. It's like, that's a joke. Emotion, see? God is love. God is joy. God is a happy God. He's not grumpy. Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness. If Jesus was miserable, why did everyone want to be around him? Children went to Jesus. My children don't want to talk to me after time in the morning until they say, have you had coffee, Dad? No. See you in an hour. You laugh, but it's true. God is happy. God is happy. God is peace. He is not volatile. He's not capricious. He's not prone to mood swings. God is patience, not angry. Not frustrated with you. And God is lovingly kind. He has nothing but an attitude of chesed, loving kindness towards you, towards me, towards us. What's God like? The fruit of the Spirit gives us the idea. His heart, his intention, his disposition, his attitude, his feeling towards you, unchangeable, because he is unchanging, is lovingly kind. He wants to do us good. He wills to do you good. He does things. Now, I know what some of you are saying because I can read your minds. I can't because that would be weird. But what about Romans 8:28? What about that verse? But, you know, where God works all things together for the good of those who love him. So bad things happen to you, but God makes it good for his glory, even though I hurt. I've got to be sober and religious and go, yeah, God, thank you that you've cut my legs off. Yes, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you that I've got no legs now because it's for your glory. Things like that. Just me? Is that what that verse is saying? Or is this verse saying this? Whatever would befall you, whatever happens to you, whatever life throws to you your way, whether it's your fault, somebody else's fault, or the enemy's fault, God can take it and go, yeah, that's rubbish. Let's make that good. And let's make that good. How does he make it good? It will bless you. And you'll look back and go, wow, actually, I came out of that stronger and wiser and better and healthier, blessed. Weird. It was rubbish. But actually, God, thanks that happened to me, weirdly. That's what that verse means. Because he's lovingly kind. He gets credit for things that actually aren't him, because he's so good at sorting out messes. Yeah? Because he's chesed towards us, lovingly kind. Not because of us, not because of you or me or how wonderful or clever or smart or funny or handsome we are, because of who he is. Who he is. Because it isn't about us, it's about him. He's kind. He is not a monster. He is not a heavenly headmaster holding a spiritual scorecard. He's not there with a job description seeing how well you measure up. He holds an adoption certificate with your name on it. And he shows it off with a smile on his face because he's chesed towards us. He's a father. He's not a stepfather ready to pounce. He's a father who wants to bless. He isn't capricious or volatile. He's not critical or scrutinizing. He is loving kindness. And I know this is harder for some of us to accept than others because of our own experiences in life. I know that. It took me a long time because of my background is not the, yay, Christian family, woo. No, none of that. I didn't grow up in, say, the kindest household. My school was not full of kind experiences. Even, I've been in ministry for quite a while now, it wasn't always the most kindest of times. So I've had to fight and pray and be like, God, I need to see you in your kindness. Because if you are like this, I need to know this. Because it's not the image I've got embedded in my psyche. But God loves to rewire our brains. That's what renewing of the mind means in Romans. That's what repentance means. The Greek is metanoia, change of mind. God loves to change our thinking. How does he change our thinking? By giving us experiences which make us go, whoa, hang on, I thought this, but this must be true. How do I work this out now? Because he likes to challenge our interpretations of him. He likes to tear down strongholds, like Corinthians says, that set themselves up against the knowledge of God, which means he likes to deal with rubbish thought patterns that actually block us from seeing who he truly is. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is. And that's what intimacy is. That's what it means to dwell in the house of the Lord. He shows us who he really is, because it's a kingdom of revelation. Revelation at the feet of the revealer. Hopefully, I'm convincing you that God is kind. Now, whether our experience of him being kind or lines up, that's another thing. But we can work towards that if we get that conviction of, okay, God, you are chesed towards us, towards me. Because if we're not entirely convinced of that, then we're not going to follow his definition of kindness. We'll do our definition of kindness, which isn't what we're looking for. So let's come back to Christotes. Can we say that loving kindness is a good definition here? Does that fit? Is that scriptural? Have I shown that it's in the Bible, not just me making things up? Can we say that that phrase, loving kindness, captures the intention and the purposefulness of God towards us? Christotes, or the root word, appears elsewhere in the New Testament as well. So it's not just in Galatians 5. You can't build a teaching out of just one word randomly appearing in one bit of text. This is actually elsewhere in the New Testament. So let's look at it to help us enrich our meaning, yeah? Father, give us eyes to see and ears to hear who you are and how you are. So I'm going to give you five things that are coming to end now about the loving kindness of God. And I'm going to read some verses, and some of them we might be familiar with, but there might be a slight change to them. So five things about God's loving kindness. The first one is this. Practically, all the stuff I'm talking about means that God's loving kindness is gentle, not jarring or burdensome. Okay? Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30, you'll know this. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Many of us know this verse, yeah? Take my yoke upon you, because I'm gentle and lowly in heart. And you'll find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is, and my burden is light. Let me tell you what it says in the Greek. For my yoke is lovingly kind, and my burden is light. It's different to easy, isn't it? Easy is, oh yeah, all right, it's still annoying, but I can kind of live with it. Lovingly kind, it's going to benefit me. Doesn't mean it's not a burden, but what it means is this. If we're carrying things today that are heavy, weighing us down, that are oppressive, it's not lovingly kind. And if you're here this morning and you're feeling a sense of burden, you're feeling weighed down, pressured, oppressed, then that is not from God. It might be from the enemy. And then maybe we need to do some deliverance to get these annoying things away. It might be from ourselves, because we have expectations of ourselves, don't we? Yeah? Sometimes we make burdens for ourselves because of how we think about things. Take on too much responsibility, too high standards, push ourselves too much. Sometimes those burdens come from other people, other people's expectations or demands. But whether it's from the enemy, from ourselves, or from the others, God's invitation is to exchange our heavy weight and burden for one that is lovingly kind, which will mean letting go of some things and maybe taking on some other things. The second thing about God's loving kindness is it's innate to him. It's not earned by us. Luke 6, this is Jesus talking. Jesus is saying to his disciples, love your enemies, do good, and lend, expect nothing in return. Christotes, isn't it? Your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. You'll be like God if you do that. This is the bit he says. This is Jesus saying, for God is lovingly kind to the ungrateful and the evil. So God's kindness extends to the people who don't recognize it, the people who don't want it, and the people who don't deserve it. And if he's like that towards the ungrateful and to the evil, what do you think he's going to be like to his children? What do you think he's going to be like to you? What does he want to do? God doesn't set standards and say, if you hit this standard, I'm going to be kind to you. It isn't conditional. That's why the gospel is good news. If the gospel was just another set of things that we had to do to please God, it isn't good news. It's rubbish news. And it's no different to anything else in the world. The third thing about God's loving kindness is, God's loving kindness is to win worshippers, not servants. In the new earth and new heavens, what are we all going to do? We're going to worship. And there's going to be some other fun stuff to do as well. But yeah, we're going to worship with God at the center. God at the center of the community. God at the center of the world. And that's what it will be like forever. But we will be worshiping, a big part of that. So actually, the highest calling for the Christian is to worship. The highest goal of the church is worship. We're meant to win worshippers. So actually, evangelism and mission is to win worshippers. Discipleship is to help people grow in their ability and understanding and in who they're worshipping. It's all about winning worshippers. Evangelism and mission and discipleship exist because worship doesn't. Let me say that again. Evangelism and mission and serving and preaching and discipleship and the prophetic all exist because worship doesn't. Because all those things are meant to lead and catapult us into worship. Yeah? And if you don't believe me, Romans 2:4. God's loving kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. God doesn't scare people into the kingdom. God doesn't manipulate people into the kingdom. God doesn't bully people, fearmonger, reason people, argue people, intimidate or oppress people into the kingdom. He woos people with loving kindness because he says, this is who I am. This is the king who I am. Follow me and I'm a good king who is lovely, kind and committed to your good and your prosperity and your shalom. And a lot of our evangelism is not that. God says, my loving kindness will lead people to repentance. My kindness will get people to change their minds about who I am. Fourthly, God's loving kindness is for now and not just the next life. It's this life, not just the next life. If we have a mentality where the blessings of the gospel and the blessings of the kingdom and the blessings of God are all for when we die, your theology is basically this. Death is your savior. And everything else is just endurance and perseverance and long-suffering and lovely spiritual words that you can probably find Bible verses to back up, but actually miss the point. Because eternal life is meant to start here and now. If death is the savior, then why did Jesus go to the cross? Because it's really, let's just get me through here. And it's like that program on TV, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. Death, yay, get me out of here. Through the rapture, woo! No. God's loving kindness is for now. Ephesians 2:7. In the coming ages, that's the future, he will show the immeasurable riches of his grace in loving kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. So the loving kindness for this life is almost like a deposit or a sign to us of what is to come. So if we don't have it on the earth now, then why would we be confident of what's to come? No, God's like, there's more coming in the future. Let me give you some stuff now. So we have been elevated. He raised us up with him. He seated us with him in heavenly places so that in the future, he can demonstrate his loving kindness. So we've been raised up now and we've been seated now because of his loving kindness. Fifthly, God's loving kindness is interventionist. It's not idle. It acts. It doesn't just sit there. It's active, not passive. Titus 3:4, when the loving kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared, see that present tense, God's loving kindness was compelled to act now. He sent Jesus. That is the ultimate demonstration of his Christotes. If kindness is passive or static, it's not loving kindness. The loving kindness of God, the fruit of the Spirit, is not just niceness or generosity. It's deeper, it's bigger, and it's wider. It's intentional. It's deliberate. It's unrelenting. It's selfless. It's other-oriented. It's goodness to others. And it doesn't matter who they are, what they've done, what they're like, what they want. It's because it's about who he is. That is loving kindness. So how do we show that loving kindness to others? It means we're gentle in our words with people, even when we're having hard conversations. It means that we are generous with our time, with our talent, and our treasures. even when people don't deserve it. Because it's not about them. We're giving and looking to give, not looking to get. Because we do what blesses others, not what makes us feel good about ourselves. We're relational and not transactional. What I mean by this is we don't just talk to people when we want something or need something, but we're actually genuinely invested in who they are, how they're doing, and we care about the response. We're not just doing it to kind of go, let's get through the small talk, then I can get what I really want, because that's not Christotes. It means we're practical and not just verbal. Words are great. Actions are better. Words and actions together is perfect. And it's being proactive, not passive. It's looking for opportunities to show loving kindness to others. Because that's the kindness of God to us. That's the kindness of God that we're to show to each other. And that's the kindness of God that an unkind world needs to experience. Because God's loving kindness leads us to repentance and will lead them to repentance. And that's why Jesus says that the world will know that you, us, we are his disciples by the way we love one another. Amen? Can we just stand?